Robbie Rogers joins us on Sports Byline, pro soccer player for the LA Galaxy and the first openly gay man to compete in a major North American pro sports league. And, of course, he plays in the MLS, has played on the U.S. National Olympic team and internationally with Leeds United in the U.K. And he tells a very interesting and compelling story and journey from a terrified teenager to a trailblazing out and proud pro soccer player in his candid memoir that I hope everybody will check out. It's called Coming Out to Play. Robbie, what really amazes you the most about the journey that you've taken?
I guess the most interesting thing to me was I just had these expectations of when I was going to come out and what would happen and what was going to happen when I came out to the public and the expectations of what might happen in the soccer world and going back and all that stuff. And I mean, just it was all just a huge surprise of overwhelming support, which I wasn't expecting, and then support from, you know, just the rest of the world when I came out publicly. And then I thought that I would never go back, and I guess the expectations of what would happen in the locker room, it's just been very different. And the guys in my locker room have been, you know, very supportive and has helped me along the way, and I've, you know, gone back into soccer and really enjoyed myself. So just a lot of things that I thought would happen didn't happen, and I think that was, you know, the most interesting part of this kind of this journey.
You know what I find interesting is that for 25 years you had to deal with a lot of forces that maybe you did not understand. I mean, you talk in the book about in elementary school, I hear my friends talk about girlfriends and I couldn't relate to them. I was particularly uncomfortable when I heard gay slurs like "don't be so gay." And then, you know, the love of your family and Catholicism and all of that. I mean, when somebody like you went through what you through, are you surprised that you finally were able to take that step?
I was just so miserable. I mean, honestly, I was just so sad and miserable that I couldn't even enjoy having dinner with my family. So I just got to the point where I just had to change something. And I thought, you know, I was willing to, you know, at least risk I thought what would be disappointment or risk, you know, a little bit of, I just thought what might have to butt heads a bit. But then in the end, hopefully I thought I could come through and find their love and support. So that was, you know, my initial thought. But again, I was just so badly need to make a change. So, you know, that's kind of what... like just forced me to do it.
Those early years certainly were confusing for you, but was a turning point around 13 or 14? Because you say, I remember the time my mom and I were listening to an Elton John song, and she said something like, I really like that song, but it's too bad he's gay. And I suppose that might have crystallized some things for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the moments. I think there was a number of different things, and I think all those things kind of chipped away at me and scarred me, which just, you know, made me think that it wasn't possible for me to be out and be around my family or, you know, or be around my loved ones. So that was definitely one of the moments. You know, I talked about that story with my mom, and she obviously apologized and talked me through all that stuff. But, you know, there were a number of those. And growing up in the sports world at a very young age and in locker rooms my whole life, you know, so there was just like a combination of things.
Was soccer, playing soccer and playing sports, something of a shelter for you?
It was when I was on the field, when I was actually on the field and like competing and winning and being successful and running by people and doing all that stuff, that's when, you know, it was a bit of a shelter. But the locker room wasn't.
In what way?
I mean, the locker room, I'm sure you know, is like, you know, so much testosterone and all the banter and so many things are said that people don't really mean. And, you know, people are very homophobic, or especially when I was younger, they're homophobic in the locker room, even if they weren't, you know, homophobic people. It's just they would say things that they wanted other people to hear and make people laugh. So it was growing up around that and that, you know, hearing so many different things, you know, throughout the years and then turning pro and it getting even worse. That, again, like my family, it just kind of scared me.
Tell me a little bit about how your Catholic background factored into all of this.
I was raised Catholic, went to Mater Dei and went to church every Sunday. And my family's a very conservative Catholic family and still are. And you just hear things, you know, in Sunday school or things at your school, your high school that it's not okay to be gay and that marriage, you know, same-sex marriage is not possible. And you just hear so many different things that you start to think at a young age that there was something wrong with me, you know, and that I'm not quite right and I need to change something. So at least that's how I felt, and I really struggled with my sexuality in that way. You know, and it's weird. And then, you know, my faith kind of is what, you know, brought me to come to terms with this, because, you know, I've always been raised that, and I believe that, you know, there's a purpose for me on this planet, and there was a reason, you know, the way I was created. And when I came to terms with, you know, I think actually I'm supposed to be this way, and, you know, I have this platform for a reason, that's when I kind of came to terms with it and kind of was like, all right, well, I need to do something about it. So, you know, even though religion at first very much scared me when I was young, it, you know, helped me kind of come out and to be somewhat of a role model, I guess.
Did you have anybody to turn to? I mean, was this pretty lonely for you,
yeah,
Robbie?
Yeah, I didn't. That was a problem. And that's like when people ask me if I would say anything to my younger self or whatever. I didn't speak with anyone, and I would tell people just to speak with someone, a therapist, someone away from their family and friends that they can kind of share these emotions and feelings with. It's so awful and dangerous to keep them inside for so long. So I was afraid to tell anyone because I thought I couldn't trust anyone, and I was, you know, so alone. And after I came out, I realized that I wasn't. So that was, you know, very unhealthy and dangerous for me. And, you know, I wish, you know, at least that's the one change that I would have made growing up.
What did you find, if anything, about the difference in the atmosphere toward homosexuality in Europe, particularly in Great Britain? Because we all know what's happened over there with the racial relationships,
yeah,
and everything. What were the changes and the differences or similarities, Robbie?
From the U.S. and the U.K.?
Yes.
I think sports cultures around the world is a little homophobic, and there's stigma with mental health and can be sexist at times. And there's a lot of different issues that, you know, sports world needs to change and talk about and discuss. The biggest differences of soccer here and football over there or soccer over there is that, you know, it's just a bigger platform over there, and there's more attention with the media and there's more money and all that stuff. So just a little bit more focus on it. But, you know, a lot of the things that I heard in locker rooms here, I heard in locker rooms there. So in that way, it's not much different. So it's not like I could escape from one country or the other. It was something that I had to kind of battle with and eventually, you know, go back into. But, you know, from one thing, and another thing that I learned was, you know, all the same people that I heard homophobic things in both countries, in the UK and even in Holland when I played there, yeah, it was that these people weren't necessarily homophobic. These athletes weren't homophobic, but just, you know, again, it's the banter and it's that, like, pack mentality in the locker room. You know, they're the same guys that called me and texted me and reached out to me, like, hey, Robbie, you know, I'm so proud of what you did, and I just want to let you know I have your support. And those are the same guys I heard very homophobic things from. So, you know, it makes me believe that they're not necessarily homophobic, just kind of ignorant and not educated on being sensitive to people.
What was it that brought you to February 2013 in your coming out letter?
So I came out to my family and a lot of my friends by that time, and I just, you know, even though I told a bunch of people, I didn't feel like I was completely out, and I just felt like I wanted to just kind of get this out of me and just get it all off my shoulders. And so I wrote that like 2 months before I posted the letter, and I was sitting on my desktop for a while, and I was sitting with a friend in my flat in London, and he read the letter, and I was like, should I post this? And he's like, you know, he's like, you've talked about it a few times, Robbie, so either do it or don't do it, but, you know, he got you something, I think. And he read it, and he was really moved by it, and so I was like, you know, I'm just going to do it. So I posted it, and it was very, you know, sporadic. I wasn't planning on it. I just posted it, and I closed my laptop and turned off my phone and didn't really know what kind of reaction I would get. But I felt amazing after I posted it, and it was, you know, I wish I could capture that feeling in a bottle and just always have it with me, because it felt so great and so liberating, and I just felt kind of free from everything.
Yeah, one of the things that you say, and I thought it was one of the more touching parts of the book, is my mom's words will always stay with me. Tell everybody what those words were.
Yeah. She just, you know, I remember telling her, I was like video Skyping with her, and she just told me that she loved me and it didn't matter. And I don't know, she just actually brought me to tears, but I was just so moved by how much love that she, you know, showed me at that moment. And she's always been, you know, a very lovely person, has always showed me so much love. So I was a little worried, but from, you know, the moment I told her, she just was like, you know, it just doesn't matter to me.
Robbie Rogers is with us. Again, I want to recommend this book. We're going to make it a selection of the month on the Sports Byline USA Book Corner. It's called Coming Out to Play. Of course, Robbie, an outstanding player in the MLS, has represented the United States in the Olympics as well and played over in the UK. Robbie, I'm going to make an observation here, and if I'm wrong about it, please feel free to correct me. But now that you can look back, and I know you were concerned about the way your parents would react to this, the way the fans would react to it and your teammates, and now that you see it has not been what you might have feared it to have been, Do you wish you had done it a little bit earlier, seeing the support that you've gotten?
Yeah, I mean, I've done that question before, and I don't really have the best answer for you. I think, you know, in a way, yes, I do. Seeing how much support I got, and I wish I could have enjoyed some moments of my career a little bit more, like going to Olympics or winning a championship with Columbus Crew or different things like that. I'd be able to have been, you know, just myself, and again, just taking all those emotions. But I am today because of all the experiences that I've gone through, and I think, you know, having to struggle and be very lonely at times and work through things has built a lot of character. So I don't regret anything in that way, and I think everyone has their own time to come out, and that's why, you know, I'm not mad that there aren't other out athletes, just a little frustrated. So it's tough for me to answer that question, you know. I guess yes and no, but I do know that people – or athletes, if they want to come out and play their sport, that they'll be supported. You know, I know from my experiences that I could have come out earlier and people would have supported me. So I feel very blessed in that way. And I know not everyone has that same kind of support, but I think that the sports world has come to a point in history where, you know, people will be probably supported rather than kind of turned away.
Yeah, I saw your quote that you were surprised that other than yourself, Jason Collins and Michael Sam, other athletes haven't come out. What does that tell you?
I mean, it just reminds me of what I was so afraid of and what these guys are going through and when they're going through every day, you know, things that they probably hear in their locker rooms. You know, those are the kind of things that I heard and that made me think that it was impossible. So those things still go on, and that's why, you know, that environment is why there aren't any out athletes. And just reminds me of how backward it is.
Yeah, every day people come out. I mean, we see it, we read about it, hear about it. So have actors, musicians, politicians. What makes it different and, I suppose, more difficult for the male athletes?
I think there's just a stereotype that people think of an athlete, and which is not true. And a lot of athletes, you know, don't think this, but a lot of fans think, you know, an athlete is a straight guy that is a big guy, a lot of testosterone, that, you know, is, you know, has a lot of money and is dating girls, and just this stereotype that I just think is so incorrect. So it's definitely not a stereotype of a guy that is a gay guy that's playing a sport. You know, I don't think that's the first thing that crosses fans' minds when they're watching a sport or watching their team. So I think, you know, I don't know, I think just historically and traditionally it's that way, and I think, again, that's a little bit of ignorance. But as more athletes, again, like I said, come out, I think they'll change that stigma and change that perception.
We only have a couple minutes left, but it was your acceptance of yourself that freed you, you said, to appreciate all things in my life that I couldn't previously. Give me some idea about what you're talking about today now compared to about 5 or 10 years ago.
I mean, just simple things like traveling with my team and just joking on the bus and being one of the guys, to, again, just having dinner with my family and not having to hide anything and to be able to talk. I mean, every aspect of life that seems so simple to people and just so routine, I couldn't enjoy, and now I can.
You know, I'm also thinking, and if I'm wrong here, again, feel free to correct me on this, but I would think, having come out, there's always going to be ignorant people who will say ignorant things. But I would assume when people know that they're in the presence of someone, they're going to be a little more sensitive, more so than they would have been before they may have known somebody was in their presence.
I mean, that's the truth, and that's probably the biggest reason. And I doubt, I mean, when I'm with the Galaxy and in the locker room, of course, people are more sensitive to their surroundings, just like I am when I'm, you know, around people. I'm not going to say, I mean, I try not to say things anyways, but, you know, sometimes things slip out. But when you're in presence of someone that you don't, you know, you don't want to hurt their feelings, you're just more sensitive to things. So, again, that's the only way to really change locker rooms, is when there's more active out professionals that are present in their locker rooms, that people have to be sensitive to their situation.
In about 30 seconds, what was your aha moment in all of this?
The best one for me in just this year, you know, last year I struggled with, you know, I felt like, gosh, I'm an out gay athlete, and that, like, I almost like branded myself as that. And this off season, I just was like, you know, I need to focus just on being a soccer player and just, you know, contributing and being another guy on the team. And when I kind of just came to terms with, okay, I am a gay man that plays a sport, and I guess I'm a role model in that way, but more importantly, I'm just part of the team where I'm helping us, you know, trying to win a championship.
Robbie, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Congratulations on this book. It's a very outstanding book, and thank you for telling the story. Take care, Robbie.
Okay, take care. Thanks so much.
Robbie Rogers with us. Again, the first openly gay man to compete in a major North American pro soccer league. It's called Coming Out to Play. We continue on Sports Byline.